All right? This guy, and I knew this guy. Now, this wasn't somebody I didn't know. This guy that was in the cell, I knew him. And he was walking around, and he looked just like this guy in Medina that I saw in this hospital. Now, I'm not saying that every single case of mental illness is gin possession. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's chemical. Sometimes it's psycho-spiritual. Chemical meaning can be chemically induced by drugs or, you know, PCP or whatever. But also, definitely, there is such thing as gin possession, which we've already given the proof for that. And this guy was walking around with his eyes was like, all you could see is the white of his eyes. And he was walking back and forth in the cell. He had taken the light fixtures out of the light and tied a wire around his leg. I mean, real tight, and a string. And around his left arm, he tied another one around his left arm. And he was running, and the cell is not that large, and the cell is like brick and iron, cement and iron. And he was banging, running back and forth, banging his head on the cell and taking this metal thing from the ceiling, and he kept banging himself on the head with it. And the voice that he was speaking in Spanish was not the voice that I'm used to hearing when I would talk to him in the cafeteria or the yard or whatever. Now, the doctor, the head doctor, psychologist, Dr. Shimkonis, who was the head of the mental health, and Maldonado from Puerto Rico, I turned and looked at Maldonado. I said, and I pointed my finger like this. Maldonado said, Santeria. Yeah. The doctor told me off the record, he gave me some long medical, psychological terms. But he said, off the record, this man is possessed. And he explained to me that there are things that psychologists and psychotherapists can't report as that. Like this young boy that went to jail in Connecticut, these people, these two demonologists that have been practicing this stuff for 38 years, they had videotapes, they had audio tapes, they had seven priests, they had doctors witnessing this boy doing these feats. All right? And it's inadmissible evidence in the court. Why? Because some people just don't accept it. All right? But the same way that this guy was acting in the cell was the same way this guy was acting in Medina. And it's interesting that the word Majnoon, crazy, means possessed by jinn. It's a passive participle. Majnoon, jinn, Majnoon, jinn, Majnoon, jinn. It means a person who is possessed by
jinn. Those people are studying Arabic. Majnoon, you see the root from jinn.
So not all of the mental illnesses are possession. But according to Ali Mushrif in Medina, he said in his humble estimation, the large majority of them are. In his humble estimation. Why? Look how much shirk we have in the world. Look how much shirk we have in this world of filthiness. A friend of mine, who's also in the university, went with another brother. This brother from Washington, D.C. He went with another brother to witness Ali Mushrif. And we're going to stop here, inshallah, after we make a little mention about talismans and amulets. And then we'll end. They went to witness this exorcism. And when they came out, the brother who was with my friend from Washington started acting like the people inside. And the brother thought he was joking. The brother said, come on, man, what you doing, man? He thought he was joking. He was serious. The brother had been possessed. The jinn had come out of someone and went into him. And they took him back in, and Ali Mushra performed the exorcism, and they come to find out, after he was exorcised, the brother confessed he hadn't made istinja in 8 years. He had not cleaned himself according to Islam, the Sunnah, in 8 years. But once again, to reemphasize the danger of making things allegories. Oh, it's no big thing eating with your right hand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La ta'kulu bishimal, fa inna shaytan ya'kulu bishimal." Don't eat with your right hand, your left hand. For surely Shaitan eats with his left hand. This is not allegorical. There's a reason behind it. Many reasons. The great reason, the ultimate reason, is only known by Allah. But one small reason is because this is also zikr. This is also remembrance of Allah. And when you remove yourself from the remembrance of Allah, when you forget to remember Allah, then you make yourself susceptible and eligible to come in contact with the jinn. He said, when you yawn, put your hand over your mouth, cover your mouth or something with it. Why? He said, because yadkhulu minu shaytan. Shaytan goes inside of you. He goes inside of you. And you can make an allegory if you want. But the Prophet didn't say it was symbolic. And the Sahaba didn't take it as symbolic. And he said, don't say, when you yawn. Why? Because Shaitan laughs at you. So these things are extremely important. And lastly, the issue of talisman, amulet, omen, etc. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-iyafa wa-t-tariq wa-t-tiyara shirk." He said that iyafa and tariq and tiyara is shirk.
Iyafa.
Now this is a pretty wide subject also, but we try to narrow it down as much as we can. Al-Iyafa is taking omens from birds. We have something in the study of magic called Tatayyur. Tatayyur is omen. And all around the world, people are involved in this stuff, including Muslims in the United States. Oh, that's a good sign. Oh, that's an evil sign. Something happened. You see, people in Panama and Costa Rica and Ghana, you come out of their house, they see a bird early in the morning, oh, that's a good sign. Or to see a blind person, well, that's an evil sign. It's an evil omen. This is all mentioned through the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this al-iyafa, this omen by birth, because the pagan Arabs used to do this before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, they would let a bird go, and according to the direction that the bird flew, or how he flew, they would do certain things for the day. And there are Muslims who are doing this, not exactly like this, but they're doing things similar to this. And the Prophet said it is shirk. At-turq is a form of divination by putting things on the ground in the sand, interpreting events, as we mentioned before. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يضرب ضربة واحدة فيكون أمة واحدة. The people who beat the ground or draw lines on the ground, the Ramal, the geomancer, to who say they're going to interpret or forecast events. And you see people doing this. You see it on television. People who live in Indo-Pakistan, those regions, subcontinent, and Africa and Turkey, they do these type of things. People in Haiti, they do these type of things. They also have a form they do with seashells. You see them doing it with seashells. Also in the hadith, the prophet said, At-tira. At-tira. All of these things are shirk. At-tira is reading the future in the omens of nature. Reading the future in the omens of nature. And another hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and all of these hadith, if you want these, you can find these hadith mentioned in the book called Kitab al-Tawheed by Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. They're all mentioned in this book, and they're all authentic, either Sahih or Hassan. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا عدوى ولا طيرة ولا هامة ولا صفر. He said, no adwa, no tira, no hama, and no safar. Hama is another type of tira, people using these words. It's also a worm, it's the belief of a worm-like beast claimed to roam around the non-avenged grave of a person that was killed, a homicide victim. This is what Hama also is. So it's two kinds. Adwa is the spread of contagious disease. The Prophet said, La adwa. There's no such thing as a contagious disease. He said, La adwa. No such thing as a contagious disease. Now what does that mean? That means, wallahu alam, according to the scholars of Islam, that there's no such thing as the origin of this man in Canada, saying that this man in Canada is the origin of AIDS. The origin of AIDS is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa khaliqu kulli shay, khayran wa sharran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, good and evil. And unfortunately, we have Muslims who believe that Allah is not the creator of evil. Once again, this particular topic, these subjects, need to be taught really after Tawheed, Uluhiyah, Rububiyah, Sifatullahi Wasma'ahu. Because we don't have enough time to really go into detail. But if you understand that, those three categories of Tawheed, then you'll understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. The sole source of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that falls under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. That nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah, and He is the creator of everything. You know, there were people, and in fact they still exist in one form or another, called the Majus, the Magians, the Magians, the Majus, they call them Arabic. They worship fire. And they believe that there is a God of good and there's a God of evil. There's a God who created good and there's a God of evil. There's a God of light and there's a God of dark. In fact, the Kuffar named one of their cars after one of these gods, these two gods. Mazda. Alright? Enyu Menyu wa Ahura Mazda. The God of light and the God of dark. The God of good and the God of evil. You see? The God of the black man and the God of the white man. Right? Yaqub. All this comes from this stuff. Alright? So the Prophet said, La adwa. There's no contagious disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the origin of everything good and evil. So this particular belief that these people, the fire worshippers had, the Majus, that there was a God who created evil, we don't find this exactly in Islam anymore. But we do find a deviant form of it. The Mu'tazila, or the Qadariya, they believe that man is the creator of evil. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Qadariyatu Majusun fi hadhihi al-Ummah. He said that the Qadariya are the Majus, the Magians of this Ummah. إِذَا مَرِضُوا لَا تَعُودُهُمْ وَإِذَا مَاتُوا لَا تَزُورُهُمْ. If they become sick, don't visit them. Muslim. And if they die, don't go to their funeral. Alright? Because it's serious. Because Allah, the man is not the creator of evil. Allah is the creator of evil. One of the proofs, you say it every day, probably most of you. Min sharri ma khalaq. You seek refuge with Allah? Min sharri ma khalaq. Surah Al-Falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. What are you saying? I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn. The Lord of the Dawn who created evil. I seek refuge with Allah from the one who created evil. Or the evil that he created, excuse me. The evil that he created, which is proof. And on your paper, we have a dua. It says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. Say, I seek refuge with the complete words of Allah from the evil of that which He created. That He created. So if you think that diseases are contagious, in the aspect that human beings are the one who created them, then you are committing shirk. You are committing shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever wears an amulet or talisman, whoever wears a talisman or amulet, stone, wood, whatever, then wukila alayhi. Wukila alayhi. Then they put their trust on it, and that which they put their trust in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet, in the next life and in this life, since you put your trust on this amulet that you got around your neck, Surah Yasin, Ayatul Kursi, whatever, from the Quran or from authentic hadith, you putting this thing around your neck, this verse of Quran, now that thing that you put your trust in, that thing around your neck that you use for protection, then that thing is going, you have to count on that thing to protect you. And Muslims are doing this. Brother told me the other day, just the other day, about a Muslim reciting Ayatul Kursi, going around his car to protect his car, making tawaf around his car, reciting ayah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Where do they get this stuff from? We have to be very careful. Very, very careful. And lastly, the hadith, before we go to questions and answers quickly, is the hadith Ibn Mas'ud, al-Marfu'an hadith. It says, At-tira ashrak, At-tira shirk, wa ma minna illa walakin Allah yudhibuhu bit-tawakkul. It says, the At-tira, this divination is owned by birds, is shirk, and whoever does it has committed shirk. But if it exists among us, Allah will wash it away through recourse to dependence upon Him. So once again, You have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who we should put our dependency on, not a necklace, not a bracelet, not an ankle bracelet, not putting ayatul kursi up on your wall. In fact, many of the scholars, they say, and this is their opinion, and it has some credibility, that the Quran shouldn't be put on the walls at all, because it's not revealed for decoration. It should not be worn, because it's not for decoration. And some of them say it's okay. But absolutely, it should not be worn as a means of protection. Though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used Quran, he used dua as a protection, but not around his neck. So, if there are any questions about this, any comments, statements, rebuttals, please speak now or forever hold your peace. Now, sister. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. And ikhlas. Mm-hmm. Right. 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 Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has explained to us that there are three types of dreams. He says one from Ar-Rahman, and you can find this in the books of Bukhari. I believe it's in the 9th volume of Bukhari in the Arabic to English. The 9th volume of Bukhari, the Book of Dreams. Kitab al-Hadith al-Hulm, I think it is. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about dreams. He says that there are three types of dreams. One from Ar-Rahman, Allah. One from Ash-Shaytan, the devil. And one from the subconscious. Alright? And jinn have the ability, evil ones, and Shaytan, has the ability to come and mess with people in their dreams. That's why we're told to wake up, seek refuge with Allah, and spit. Yes. Right. I didn't say you shouldn't. I said there are scholars, many of them, who say you shouldn't. Because the Quran is a book of guidance. It's not to be used as decoration. That's their reasoning. I'm not saying it's haram now, but this is the opinion of some of the scholars of the Islam. Right. No, I didn't say riding in the car. I just said that what is the origin of him going around the car three times? Where is it in the sunnah that the Prophet went around his camel three times and recited Quran? That's the issue. Imam Omar. Assalamu alaikum. Good to see you, I think. Mm-hmm.
We have to remember, like Imam, the great Sheikh of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir. Maybe some of us have heard of Ibn Kathir. We have his great Tafsir of Quran that Muslims all around the world, they read. And it's one of the most authentic classical Tafsirs of Quran. He said, يفصل القرآن بالقرآن فإن أعياه ذلك فصل القرآن بالحديث فإن لم يجد فصل القرآن بأقوال الصحابة. He said that the best tafsir of the Quran is the Quran, and when that's exhausted, then the best after that is hadith, and then after that, when you can't find a hadith, then the best is the statement of the companion. So in order to understand those verses, we have to go to other verses. And I think I have some written down somewhere. We look at chapter 7, verse 131, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتُهُمُ الْحَسَنَاتُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ. But whenever good befalls them, they say, this is ours. وَإِنْ تُصِبُهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَتَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ. This is ours, and whenever evil hits them, they ascribe it to the evil omens of Musa and those with him. أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely their evil omen was, it is from Allah. It is from Allah, but most of them know not. And then Allah again says, chapter 7, verse 131, and chapter 9, verse 51. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل, Allah commanded the Prophet and us to say, لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا. Say, nothing befalls us except that which Allah has decreed for us. Once again, once we become found firmly grounded in those three categories of Tawheed, then we'll understand what these verses mean. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all through the Quran, explains to us, and the hadith of the Prophet, that we should, though we know that the good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He created the evil also, the reason why the evil comes from the man because of him not making the proper preparation. Once the proper preparation is made, then whatever Allah has decreed, you have enough, you can do nothing about it anyway. You see? So now the evil comes from the man. You see? That's right. That's right. But there are still things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will not happen unless it be the will of Allah, and it's already been written that it's going to happen, because the first thing Allah created was the pen. And what did He say to the pen? Write. So what should I write? All those things that is going to happen to the human being, whether it's good or evil. Alright? And the last Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the 40th day, and another narration says, on the 42nd day of the child in the womb, He sends the angel, for those who don't know, it's not Allah blowing, it's the angel blowing, which is the explanation of the verse when it says Allah blows. But now Allah's Prophet explained what it means by Allah blowing, because it's the angel blowing, Jibreel. It says the angel blows the breath, the ruh, into the mother's womb, and He gives them four things, arba'atun kalimat. And one of those four things is if he's going to be sa'id or shaqi. If he's going to be happy or sad. If he's going to have good or evil. So it's already written. The primary cause, the sole source of it, is Allah. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَنَهَيْدَوْنَ نَجْدَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. That Allah says, I have made for you a pair of eyes and two lips and a tongue and showed you two highways. So it's up to the human being. He says he makes the easy way easy for those who are going to Jannah. He makes the easy way for them to do good deeds. And for those who are destined to go to hell, he makes it difficult. He makes it easy for them to do wrong things. You see? He opens the floodgate. But the thing we're trying to get in mind is that the sole cause of everything is Allah. That there was no such thing as man creating evil. And this is where the Mu'tazili went off. Some of the people of the past, the deviant Muslims, went off. They said Allah wasn't Khaliq until he created. He wasn't a creator until he had something to create. This is dangerous. He didn't become Al-Khaliq until he created something. This is shirk. This is kufr. You see? He was Khaliq before there was anything to create. Because that's an internal, coexisting attribute of Allah. So when he created good and evil, it was by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he did it, Allah knows best. Man has nothing to do with it. Man either goes into it by his choice. This or that. So I agree with you 100%. But we must reemphasize that man is not the creator of evil. And the evil doesn't come from him as the sole source, but because, like you said, him transgressing the bounds, etc. The water is the perfect example. No. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fi kulli shay khayr." In everything there's good. No. Allah says in the Quran, "Who الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا." It is He who created death and life, and everything in between, everything in those two things, to try you to see which of you be best in your conduct. So He gives people certain gifts. So some people do have these things. Some people do have these things, and they should use. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "There's no prophets after me, only Mubashira. Only Mubashira. Only those people who have good dreams." You see. So if you can use it, because there was a man, a very righteous man, some centuries ago, or maybe in the past two centuries, last century or this century or last century, and this is a long story, I'll try to make it short. This man in Medina, and Sheikh Muhammad Abbas, he probably knows about this, maybe some other brothers or sisters, two criminals planned to dig a tunnel, and they started digging the tunnel. This is a true story. Started digging a tunnel under the ground in Medina to the Prophet's masjid to steal his body. And this man, who was a righteous man, obviously, you know, it's obvious he was an extremely righteous man, you see, told the authorities. It's a long story, but basically what he did, he told the authorities, and the Prophet came to him in a dream. He saw the Prophet in a dream, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet in the Bukhari, in the Book of Dreams, in Volume 9, he tells us, whoever sees me, because Shaitan can't take my form, whoever sees me know that they have seen the true vision. Some of the extremist Sufis, they really go overboard, because the Hadith says, surely that he has seen Al-Haq. And they say that they've seen Allah. This is a bad, a misleading interpretation. What it means is they've seen a true vision. In other words, they've seen me. All right? But this man, he forewarned the authorities, and sure enough, they went to this area. The prophet explained to him that in his dream there was water that was seeping in this hole, this tunnel-like, and he kept having this dream. A couple of nights he had this dream, so he finally went to the authorities, and they actually busted these two guys trying to tunnel to steal the prophet's body. It was Shia, by the way.
People in Islam, the halal way, they can interpret dreams. Everybody can't do it though. You know, and once again, you have these people going to the Sufism, extreme Sufism, and there's some that are lighter than others, even though I don't care for any of it, but there's some that are milder than others. There's some of these people who go into this extremism and Sufism, and they'll rip you off. They'll rip your soul off, literally, your iman. Because a lot of these Sufi tariqas are into this stuff. A lot of these so-called sheikhs and the tasawwuf are into this kind of stuff. You see? No, this magic and astrology and numerology and all these witchcrafts and things like this. And they're able to do certain things because they're magicians. You know? And they are splitting communities up. They're splitting men from their women. They're splitting families up. And we can go the whole nine yards. Be very careful, because the Sharia is perfect, and we don't need two types of rules. There's only one rule, and that's the Sharia. We don't need another rule for an elitist group. and a road for the masses. No. Father. We can try to get a little, it's almost time for Maghrib, inshallah. We're going to try to speed it up, inshallah. Well, basically, the numerology is some of the basic forms is to take letters from people's names or words and give them numerical values and try to predict the future, forecast events by use of those numerical equations. Because the Arabic alphabet has the Arabic alphabet, Alif, Ba, Ta, Ta, they also have numerical values. So some people take these things without justification. So this is not what it's for. And they use it. Like I mentioned earlier about people who instead of writing the Bismillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, now they write 786. See, and Rashad Khalifa, we mentioned the liar prophet in Arizona, he does this, you know, with the number 19. Which Brother Bilal Phillips did a very good book. He just wrote a reputation on this. But basically that's it. It's all part and parcel with this, brother. No, I'm too. Oh yeah, this is an old thing. They've been using this for centuries. Yeah, they've been using this for centuries, sister. I mean, almost any and everything you can think of in creation they use. Wood, stone, crystal, crystallite, fire, water, you know, sand, whatever you know, mankind has just went way off. And now, we've gone so far into Zulumat, into darkness and Jahiliya and Kufr, human beings that are not us, alhamdulillah. I believe that this is the first time in history that man has denied the existence of Allah altogether. If you go back into history, you probably can't find a time when man disbelieved in Allah altogether. At least he prayed to a tree or a dog. I mean, you even have people in China and Japan and some other places who make phallic images, who worship, make images of penises and worship penises. But now you have people who don't worship Allah at all. They say Allah doesn't even exist. That's how far man has gone. And like Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. He created the man in the best of molds, then he returns him to the lowest of the low. Man is low now. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to return us to Tawheed. And if Muslims don't learn Tawheed correctly, you may be a Hindu in disguise, make a salat. You may be a Buddhist. You may be a Confucianist in disguise, thinking just because you make a salat. But because you don't have the right aqidah, you may be going to hell. You may not even be a Muslim. Very, very important. 23 years of the Prophet's mission, 13 of those years were spent on teaching Tawheed. Tawheed, Tawheed, Tawheed. For 13 of 23 years. Why? Extremely important. And most Muslims, especially Muslims in America, we don't know that much about Tawheed. We know about fiqh. We know about black history and African history. We know about Banja Khan and all this crap. All right? Not saying black history is crap. I'm talking about the last thing I mentioned. And we don't know anything about Tawheed. We don't know what are the three categories of Tawheed. What is the shirk of Tawheed? And this is very, very important. So important that the three things that we're going to be asked in the grave have nothing to do with anything else but Tawheed. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your leader? It's not based on fiqh. It's based on Tawheed. And according to how you believe in this life, you may not be able to answer correctly. But you have a good life. Excuse me, that you, this, yeah, because you said something already. You already said it. Inshallah, cool. We're going to try to speed this up, inshallah. From the Quran to make that the brother uses and anyone uses to remove the jinn from the body after you have a pure intention, after you have established the fard acts, after you have surrounded those fard acts with sunnah acts, after you have surrounded those sunnah acts with nawafil, with supererogatory optional acts, after you fast with the pure intention of Allah and you become a true pious muttaqi person with taqwa. This is the only way you can do it. Ali Mushaf told me he's never made dua for a person and it wasn't accepted. He said, I've never made dua for a person and it wasn't accepted. Alright? After you do all that, the surah from the Quran is Al-Fatiha to Nas. Whatever you recite from the Quran, because it's the word of Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophet said, A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammat. I seek refuge with the words of Allah, the complete words of Allah. So that means anything from the Quran. The Prophet said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The best speech is the speech of Allah. So it's no specific chapter or verse. Whatever you say from the Quran, even if it has to do with the laws of inheritance, even if it has to do with child custody and divorce, even if it has to do with food, if it's the Quran, it's the words of Allah for protection. And you can use it. But there are some that were mentioned specifically, and they are Ayatul Kursi, the three Qul, Qul Hullahu Ahad, Falak, and Nas. Surah Al-Waqi'ah? No. And some people say Yasin. I don't know the authenticity of the hadith about Yasin, but some people also say Yasin. Right, and I like to make a special note of these verses from the Quran before the brother, and inshallah we're going to stop. We've got 5 minutes before they call the event, I think. In chapter 16, verses 98 through 100. Chapter 16, verses 98 through 100. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Now if this shaitan is allegorical, then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you when you read the Quran to seek refuge with him from the shaitan? If all this stuff that doesn't mean anything, why is he telling you before you read the Quran to seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan? And then he says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Surely Shaitan has no power over those who believe and put their trust in their Lord. And it doesn't mean just any type of belief. It means the correct belief. As Allah says in the Quran, say to them, O Muhammad, the Bedouin Arabs, do not say that you believe. Why? Because faith, the correct belief, has not yet entered into your heart. So just say, we have submitted. So don't think now, just because you say, I believe in Allah, that you understand that you are a believer. No, you have to get the correct belief. And then the last verse says, إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. But he does have power over those who make a friend with him and those who ascribe partners to him. He does have power over them. The brother, you had your hand up. Tawheed.
Unified and trying to make that one of
absolutely, brothers. Once again, the prophet spent 13 years of his 23-year mission on Tawhid. He didn't spend 13 years talking about African history. He didn't put all the emphasis on Arab history. He put the emphasis on Tawhid. On Tawhid. And it's a shame that when you talk to the average Muslim, they cannot tell you the three types of Tawhid. They cannot explain them. Just give them a summary. They can't explain it. Let alone the meaning of it. The meaning of those three categories of Tawhid. Someone else has their hand up. Is that it? Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us and increase us and increase our zeal to obey Him and to take what He and His Messenger says without hesitation, without reservation, even if we don't understand it, to accept it. Whatever the Messenger of Allah gives you, take it, and whatever He forbids, abstain from it. This is the order from Allah. And lastly, inshallah, we'd like to make the closing dua on this, the dua that we learned, or that we're going to learn, inshallah, on this paper. Allahumma la yati bil hasanati illa anta wa la yadfa'u as-sayyi'ati إلا أنت ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.